You're listening to Health Radio. There's nothing more important than when your children are sick. That's why we're here with sound advice, with expert guests provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children on Health Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Hey, welcome to the show. My guest is Dr. Adriana Segura. She's professor of the Associate Dean of Student Affairs in the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio Dental School. Welcome to the show, Dr. Segura.
Thank you.
So we're talking about infant and toddler oral health. So let's just start with the age at which, you know, when your babies are little and there's no teeth in their mouth, is there something we can be doing to help them begin to grow strong, good teeth?
Well, at this time, what we want to do is provide early prevention and guidance to the parent on what to do when the first tooth comes in, and stressing the importance of diet and oral hygiene early on as the first tooth comes in at 6 months.
Okay, so you want to make sure to, you know, get your babies ready and they're getting milk or you're breastfeeding, you know, and they're starting to eat calcium-rich foods. Does this make a difference?
No, calcium rich, they don't, you know, the teeth start forming way earlier on while the mom is pregnant. And so what we do want is, you know, healthy mom. We have found out, you know, if illnesses can affect the formation of teeth, but just a normal diet for the mom will promote good, healthy teeth.
Now, as the teeth are coming in, Dr. Segura, some babies are on pacifiers, some suck their thumb, some use a bottle. Are any of these things affecting teeth as they grow in? Do they change the positioning of the teeth?
Yes, any long-term habit as a pacifier or a thumb habit, past the age of two, you can start getting some restriction of the upper jaw. So we're recommending to eliminate pacifiers by age two. And then if a child continues with a thumb or a finger habit, we like to intercept around age four or five when we can talk to the child and explain how to have them to quit the habit.
Okay, so do little babies, and as we get their new little teeth, can they get tooth decay?
Oh, as early, I've seen children with decay as early as a year old, at 12 months, and so, and that's usually, you know, due to poor diet and poor oral hygiene. And so our goal is to start early prevention at age 6 months with diet and oral habit and oral hygiene.
So oral hygiene, meaning?
That a parent should start brushing when the first tooth comes in. You can use a little wet towel or use one of the, you know, a baby toothbrush when you start twice a day brushing the teeth. We recommend toothpaste based on risk. If your physician or dentist feel that the child is at risk for high cavities, we recommend toothpaste early on, even at age one.
Okay, so they can use toothpaste. And do we have them trying it themselves, or is this strictly something the parents just do to get it done?
This is strictly, we want parent to do it completely. We don't recommend supervised toothbrushing almost to the age of 6 and 8. So if, you know, if you have a mother and the child wants to play with the brush, we let them play with the brush, but then we recommend that the parent place that, like, a grain size of rice of toothpaste on the toothbrush, and they brush the teeth with the toothpaste to eliminate swallowing and chewing on the toothpaste.
Now, Dr. Segura, do you have, I mean, there's so many toothpastes on the market for kids, and they're all flavored like candy, and they're all blue and green. So is there something that dentists want us to hear about those flavored and colored toothpastes?
Yes, in fact, you know, I've heard stories of kids enjoying the toothpaste so much that if a parent does not put the toothpaste away from the reach of the child, we don't want a child just grabbing the toothpaste and sucking it. So that is just a mechanism for the child to enjoy the taste, but we do want to keep it away from children where they don't grab it.
So there's no actual detriment to using those flavored toothpastes as opposed to just plain old Colgate or Crest?
No. It's just, you know, a taste that, you know, allows the child not to fight the parent as much because they might enjoy the taste. But then you have to worry if they enjoy the taste, they might go behind the parent and suck it on a little bit more because they like the taste as bubble gum.
Okay. Is there any truth to the fact that, you know, if your baby likes to take their bottle to bed, to naps or whatever, and if it's got milk in it or anything like that, can the bottle cause trouble if they have it around?
Oh, yes. What happens is that our saliva decreases when we're sleeping, and so if a child's sucking out a bottle with milk or a juice, the liquids stay in the mouth, which is feeding the bacteria that causes the disease and then puts the child for a higher risk. So what we recommend to parents is just put the child to bed with water. They'll fight us for a little bit, but they'll get used to it. They're that thirsty. Nothing but water for bed.
Okay, and what about when is the first time we take a child to the dentist?
We want by age one for them to have a dental home, or 6 months after the first tooth.
Okay.
And at this visit, you know, the child might only have 8 teeth or 6 teeth, but it's really prevention modalities with the parent.
So we take them in after they get their first teeth, and what can they expect a dentist to do at that point?
Well, the dentist is probably going to spend 10 to 15 minutes talking to the parent, identifying risk factors, talking about diet with the parent. What's the source of fluoride at home right now? Are they drinking, do they have bottled water? Or are they drinking just regular tap water? We talk about a pacifier and habits. And what we're doing is really a risk assessment, talking to the parent on what's placing the child at risk or no risk. And then we actually do the what we call a knee-to-knee exam, which actually only takes about 2 minutes. And so part of 80% of the appointment is just talking and educating the parent about the disease caries.
And which is better, tap water or bottled water?
Well, if your community is fluoridated, tap water is better. There's some bottled water that's fluoride, but not all. And usually you can only find it at a grocery store in the baby center where the diapers are. Those will say fluoridated water. And we do want a certain amount of fluoride in the water.
Okay, so moving up to toddlers a bit, Dr. Segura, when they start developing all their teeth and we take them to the dentist and they say we're doing a fluoride treatment.
And at that age, we're doing fluoride varnish.
Okay, so you're doing a fluoride varnish. Now, usually insurance does not pay for this, and it can be up to, you know, it adds a little bit of extra to the insurance.
Yes, some insurance companies do or some do not. But it is, like we explained to parents, is it's a protection that we're placing on the teeth. It's a higher dose of fluoride. The patients cannot swallow it, so it's providing that extra source of protection for the tooth. And we try to do it 2 to 3 times a year to make the tooth a little bit stronger.
Okay, and so do we do that with baby teeth, or do you wait until they're adult teeth to do this?
No, we do it with baby teeth. And the reason we use fluoride varnish on baby teeth because children are not able to put, as we adults get that fluoride tray in our mouth a lot of times in the dental office. And so that's why we use a fluoride varnish where it's applied directly to the tooth, and it's in a gel format so the child doesn't have to sit there for a minute or two with a tray in its mouth.
Okay, so that really is just something that you do even if they're baby teeth at this point. When they become adult teeth, is there then something you do to sort of seal out those teeth?
Right, on our kids when they're, you know, that first permanent molars have come in, that's usually around age 6 or 7, we place a protective sealant that many of us are used to the term a sealant. It's a plastic material that places on top of the teeth to help prevent a cavity from occurring on top of the tooth.
Now, I want to ask you, Dr. Segura, because with sealants, again, insurance doesn't always cover these, and they can be quite expensive per teeth.
The same thing what I do is when I'm, you know, evaluating the risk, if I see there's a, you know, poor oral hygiene, the child's had several cavities already as a toddler, I'm going to explain to the parent that it's the benefit to, you know, pay for this preventive on a first molar because it's going to help prevent on a tooth that's supposed to last another 80 years for the child.
Okay, so you discuss it with them, and do you feel that it's something that parents should discuss with their dentist? Do some dentists just go ahead and do it?
No, I feel they should discuss because some parents are not even aware what the sealant does, and they think it's a, you know, like a filling, and it's not a filling. It's something to prevent the future cavities.
Okay, and so as they become toddlers, when is it we start to teach them about things like flossing?
I still, as a toddler, there's flossing aids that a parent can use. So as soon as the child turns around 3, that means all the teeth are in. That means in the back, the teeth are in close contact, so we want to start flossing. And there's flossing aids for parents that they can do it for the child.
Okay, and so what are flossing aids?
You know, as an adult, we're supposed to wrap the floss around our fingers. That's kind of difficult for a parent to do for a child. So a flossing aid is like a little plastic handle that the floss is already tied in there, so the parent just has to put it in between the teeth and just push up and down instead of wrapping the floss around their fingers.
And then at what point do the kids kind of try and take the lead and do it themselves?
probably till around 8-10 years old, they're not going to be able to have the dexterity to put it around both fingers and go in the back of the teeth.
With those little teeth so spread apart, though, is it really that important to floss?
Well, at age 3, the teeth are coming into contact. So at age 3, you're going to see less space. At 2, it's not a problem, but around between ages 3 and 4, you will have close contacts. And some kids even may not have the open spaces we like in the front teeth, and so we'll recommend those floss aids.
Okay, and when we come back, we're going to talk about teen oral health. You're listening to Healthy Children, the talk show for parents, and our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And if you miss any of the great information that we give here on Healthy Children, you can download the podcast anytime on demand at healthradio.net. Look for the AAP logo, and there's the show. So scroll around and check them out. This is Melanie Cole for Health Radio. We'll be back.